You're listening to Channel Radio.
It's 1 o'clock.
Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jewel Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello, you. You're right.
A lovely day, isn't it?
It's like Africa out there, isn't it?
It is. It's very, very lovely. Well, without the zebras, of course.
Oh, no, no. The weather was fine. I was just a wildebeest that got to me.
The wildebeest.
Yeah, that swept majestically across the Channel Radio car park.
From the Welt.
Yeah.
Well, I am drinking rooibos tea as well. So,
you know. Well, I know.
Totally African. African.
Yeah.
With a little touch of Krispy Kremes.
I thought we weren't going to mention the donuts.
I hope Amanda's not listening.
Well, see, now you've done it. I mean, you did it. You deliberately. No. I said, Billy, our guest in the studio, has kindly bought a whole tray of Krispy Kreme donuts, none of which I've eaten, honestly.
No.
And I said, we mustn't mention donuts on air. So the first thing she mentioned was donuts on air.
Well, I've never had a Krispy Kreme. I mean,
we have now.
Sheltered life, Paul.
You have now.
I've never, ever, ever had one.
She had one, listener. And I said to her, you're gluten intolerant. You shouldn't eat those. And she went, no, I know. But I now want another one.
I do. And I did choose, if you notice, very wisely, I chose the darkest chocolate one there was. So I get that sort of, you know, the endorphin hit without all the sugary bits.
You do come out with some nonsense. You do not come out with some nonsense.
But the filling, there's a filling in it as well.
What was the filling then?
Oh, it was unctuous. It was like chocolate.
Was it a fondue? A fondant, rather?
Probably, yeah. I can tell you've had a few. I mean, I wouldn't know, but it was unctuous.
I'm guessing it wasn't jam.
It was very pleasant. No, it wasn't jam. It was very delicious. Mm. And I will be having another one in the half time when the news comes on.
Will you?
But I'll have to have a cup of tea. And I've got this sugar rush now, Billy.
Oh, no. We're going to have trouble today. Yeah. So, well, more trouble than usual.
So we're delighted to have in the studio with us, actually live, Billy Dean of SOS Tech Kent on the Twitter. So that's SOS Tech, TECH Kent. You can follow them. And he, of course, is my long-suffering IT, often to be found in my wardrobe.
Well, we did have a long-running debate about Billy being in your wardrobe, didn't we? Yeah.
For 14 years.
Yeah.
We've allowed him to escape now and then.
Mm.
So we'll be hearing all about IT stuff.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to talking with Billy in the first half of the show. In the second half of the show, we've got an interview with Vanessa Ugatti about valuing your time as a professional service provider.
Which
is fascinating. Yeah.
What I was going to ask you was, who might our sponsor be?
Business Bunker Show is pleased to partner with DG East, an independent new and used vehicle suppliers and services, supplying car and light commercial vehicles, utilising a majority of the UK-based leasing operators' services. You can find out more about them by going to their website, which is www.dgeast.co.uk. And a very big thank you to them for supporting the Business Bunker show.
And we do love your support, and we love to hear your tweets. So do tweet in, use the BBunker hashtag. We'd love to hear from you how you're doing in the business world, the SMEs of the world. And I was going to say, I heard on the news this morning as I was trundling in that the government has stopped the incentive that was about £1,400 on buying electric cars. Did you hear that on the news?
Yeah.
And they said that they will be using it to do more plug-ins, to pay for more plug-ins. I can see your face. Come on.
What are you going to do? Yeah, well, the thing that we need for all of this is electricity. And we need electricity that people less than billionaires can actually afford to buy.
I know. Our bill, our gas and electric, we're with Utility Warehouse, but it's tripled practically.
Don't even get me started.
I know.
Don't even get me started.
And I spend my whole life running around turning off plugs and switches and the hot water, because now there's only me and the new husband in the house. We've got no babies having baths in the evening and things. So we don't have the hot water.
See, I've made a schoolboy error. I went in my swimming pool for the first time on Sunday, and it was gorgeously warm.
For once, never.
And it was gorgeously warm because I got a new heat pump on it. And it was gorgeously warm, and I'm thinking, this is brilliant. And I thought, hold on a minute. I've got an electricity bill to come from this.
Yeah.
I hate to think what it's going to have costed me to heat that.
Well, we have a boiler to do ours, so we've got three boilers in our house, which is bonkers, but one for the pool, and then that's just how the house was built.
I see what you mean. Sorry.
Casting nasturtiums to?
I was not suggesting you're an old boiler, Jules.
Thank you for that. Or an old leather handbag my holiday in Ibiza.
Well, yeah, I did mention that, I think.
I put plenty of moisturiser on. We will talk to Terry Thorpe, who often comes on and talks about electric cars and vehicle car hire.
Yeah.
Because the Honda one, for example, charges itself.
Yeah, there are some recharging cars.
So why can't we just have them all charging themselves instead of having points everywhere?
Yeah, but they need a petrol engine as well, and the government are trying to get rid of petrol engines, aren't they?
I can't see. And also, I seem to remember years ago, there was this thing where the road actually kept your car going. There was this thing that they'd invented.
Yeah.
And you hear
things. That's a Scalectrics, that's cool.
No, you hear these things on Tomorrow's World, don't you? Does Tomorrow's World exist anymore?
No, it doesn't. It's a shame, because it was a good programme.
It was a good programme. Bring it back.
Yeah.
But I remember, in fact, there was a pupil that went to Kent College with my Josh, Ibiza Fitness Food, IFF Kitchen on the Twitter. He went to Kent College, and his name was Lawrence someone, double barrel, of course. He invented a walkway that made electricity that could be used in shopping malls and things.
Yeah,
I'm looking at Billy because he will give me an answer, whereas you're just going to cough and ridicule me. Did you ever hear about that, Billy?
No, I haven't. I've seen the little solar panel grids that they did for driveways. it was basically a hexagonal grid that can sit together and that charged, but I haven't seen one where it's...
So what, was that when a car drove over it?
It wasn't anything to do with the friction or the kinetic, it was purely a solar panel. They were micro solar panels.
Okay.
They then developed them into roof tiles to try and fill them as well, because that should be the way we're going now.
Yeah, we should.
The thing is, there's lots of
ways...
A coughing fit.
That's all right.
There's lots of ways of generating electricity or generating power, but most of them aren't commercially viable, on a large scale.
I think the biggest thing that holds us back in technology is battery storage of it. We were working with a company a couple of weeks ago running the network infrastructure for their offices, and they generate electricity through wind turbines on the central reservations of motorways.
Right. Alpha 311.
Company. Yeah. Really good idea. What they also do is they look at the data as well that they can read from that. So whether that's the movement of the cars, whether we can see whether there's a breakage by the amount of friction that's being caused on it, it picks up every little minor sensor and feeds that back to them. Hmm. But then again, the issue is storage. So they're looking at how they can store that as nitrogen, as it's easier to store. They could then convert that back in the long run.
It's one of the things with all of these technologies, isn't it? There's always some element there that holds it back. People ignored one side of a battery as well. A battery consists of two sides, an anode and a cathode. Yeah, and everybody was concerned about the cathode side, which is the bit that uses lithium and all the rest of it, because the anode side was always easy because it's just graphite. Except that we started producing so many batteries, we started to run out of graphite. So we had to synthetically produce graphite. And guess what we used to synthetically produce graphite? An oil refinery. It's made from oil. And then we have the biggest synthetic graphite producer in Europe is in Hull. There's an oil refinery in Hull that produces synthetic graphite, the raw material. It makes it in Hull, ships it to China. The Chinese turn it into graphite. It's sent back, and then we build it into the anode side of the batteries that we use.
Wow. So is there any way for it not to be shipped to China? Could it be done anywhere else?
If people had the technology to do it, yeah.
I also question how much wastage is involved.
Yeah, exactly.
Well. We're running out of raw materials, so we need to find another solution for it.
Yeah. So for me, and I think this is kind of where Billy was coming from as well, I think the big challenge here isn't generating electricity, it's storing it. That's where the new challenge has to come. I know that a lot of battery companies are experimenting with what they've called solid-state batteries.
Yeah.
Which may be a new way of doing it.
Sounds like a constipation program, that one, solid state. You know my mum, who's 99.
Yeah, I know your mum, Ruth.
Ruth,
yeah.
Lovely,
yeah.
Ruth.
I met your mum.
So she came to, but Billy's been around to tackle all her IT issues as well.
Yeah, I bet that was easier than doing yours.
Yeah, she let me have the cupboard on.
Yeah.
She made him tea.
Yeah.
We took her to Ibiza, and while we were, you know, trying to give her some rest and relaxation, she got a text from Utility Warehouse. I think it was a news flash, actually. It wasn't Utility Warehouse. I'm sorry to them. And it said, expect power cuts all this winter.
Mm.
I thought, God, such doom and gloom.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that's just the politics of it all, isn't it?
It's also where those smart meters that they're pushing out can come in quite handy as well, by predicting when we're going to need surges so that they can use the dam up in Scotland, isn't it, to either switch it on or switch it off in anticipation of those large-scale events. Mm.
And Nicola Sturgeon wants to leave us. And start her own royal kingdom.
I don't care. So that they can do what they want.
Not if they've got our dam up there,
Yeah, but for me, there's an easy solution to all of this, which is nuclear, and we should be rolling out SMRs. We've talked about this so many times.
Yeah. Definitely. But, I mean, Bill Gates came up with a brilliant idea, didn't he, with the nuclear power plants to... He's created basically a more efficient, a safer way of doing it. He put the proposal through and China had accepted it. Mm. And then Donald Trump became president and he decided he didn't want to do it with China.
Yeah, you know, it's political. I mean, Rolls-Royce, who have the contract here to build SMRs, small modular reactors, have been building these things for years. It's what they build for nuclear submarines. They're perfectly safe. You know, people go, oh, what do you do with the spent uranium? Well, I'm sorry, you're 30 years out of date. There isn't any spent uranium. All the uranium is reused. The only waste from a nuclear plant is the uniforms that people were wearing that are disposed of in an incinerator. They're due to build 200 SMRs, and Rolls-Royce are ready to go. SMRs are built off-site and then put in place. They take 4 years to build, whereas Hinkley Point's taken 120 years to build. He's 100 billion behind top budget. We just need to get on with it, but they just don't want to. The government just don't want to finish the planning and get on with it. But that's what we need. Until we got that, we've not got any energy security. But there you go. Even France has 56 nuclear reactors, but even in France they've started to close them for no real reason other than they claim they're getting old, but they still work. But there you go. Do you know what I was doing on Friday?
Picnicking?
Not quite.
Oh, you were at the Business Awards.
I was at my first Business Award for 2 years.
Well, you see, you tricked me, because if you'd have said Friday evening, I knew. But I thought Friday during the day, you might have been having some R&R by the little pool. So how was the first Business Award that you've compared for?
2 years.
It
was brilliant. The Seven Oaks Business Awards were held on the 10th of June at the magnificent Bat and Ball Centre, which is next to Bat and Ball Station in Seven Oaks, or on the outskirts of Seven Oaks. The event opened with an introduction from Town Team Chairman Andrew Eyre, and then the Town Team's new patron, who's the local MP, Laura Trott, MBE, and they also expressed thanks for the previous MP for Seven Oaks, Sir Michael Fallon, for many years' service. Following a motivational speech by international chef Stuart Gillies, the owner of Number 8, the newest restaurant in Seven Oaks. Stuart used to be the chief executive of Gordon Ramsay's restaurants.
Yeah, I know him.
Yeah. And we had a two-course meal, and then just to let you know, the winners of the awards, the three finalists and winners, independent business with less than 50 employees, Connector Group came third, Prime Aesthetics second, and it was won by Seven Oaks Sport and Wellbeing. Larger business with more than 50 employers, sponsored by Go Coach. Third was Paydon, second was Rockdale, and the winner was Cook. The green business sponsors Seven Oaks District Council. Joint third, Aqua Oaks and Eat for Energy. Second was TN Card. You remember Jess that was on the show a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
And the winner was Mount Vineyard. New business with less than 5 years old. The sponsor was Kent County Council. Joint third was Eat for Energy and Aqua Oaks. Second was TN Card. And the winner was Seven Oaks Sport and Wellbeing. The micro enterprise sponsored by Seven Oaks Chamber of Commerce. Third was Connector Group. Second was Seven Oaks Sport and Wellbeing. And the winner was the Red Pizza Van.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. Customer Choice Award sponsored by Sepex Savers. Third was Crop Hair. Second was
Crop Hair. Hairdresser.
Yeah. Okay. I'll tell you in a minute. You followed them on Friday.
Did I?
Yeah, because I told you to.
I can't remember Friday.
I'll tell you about it in a minute. I'll tell you about Crop Hair in a minute. Third was Crop Hair. Second was Aqua Oaks. And the winner was Jess and the lovely team at TN Card. And then there was a special award, which was the judge's choice for a significant contribution in economic development and local community. The sponsor was Warner Solicitors, and it was won by Bill Terry of Wealden Properties. The whole event was sponsored by Manax Solicitors. So there you go. It was a fantastic evening. Thoroughly enjoyed myself. Hadn't done it for ages. Went to go out and my dinner jacket didn't fit.
Oh, well, we're supposed to try it all on first, Paul Andrews.
I did. I tried it on the Thursday.
Yeah, it didn't give you much time.
And
it
didn't.
So what did you do? Wear a cummerbund?
No. Let me tell you what happened. I went and thought, oh, I better try my dinner suit on. And bizarrely, I got the trousers on, okay, but the jacket just wouldn't do up, and the waistcoat, well, forget it. Yeah. So I thought, what am I going to do? And I've got another two awards dinners to do in June and early July.
Well, we also have a box of Krispy Kremes to get through today, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought, there's nothing I can do. I'm just going to have to turn up in my jeans and jumper or something, you know, and pretend I didn't realise it was black tie. Anyway, but I thought I better buy myself a new dinner jacket. But being on the big side, it's not easy. Yeah,
you can't just pop out to M&S.
Oh, you can't get one in a shop anywhere.
No.
Well, I couldn't get one online anywhere either. I went all over Amazon and Big and Beautiful and
Giacomo
and I try all of those big, bold and
isn't
bouncy.
The one like Tall Man or Big Man or something?
Big and Tall Man. Yeah, I went to all of those. None of them had one. And bizarrely, I went into Marks and Spencer's and they had a sale, end of stock sale on dinner jackets. And they had one.
Is this Super Savers, did you say?
No, Marks and Spencer's.
Marks and Spencer's?
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, because I'm doing. The Twitter's gone
mad.
Yeah,
you're ignoring me, aren't you?
Well, no, Twitter's gone mad. Yeah, carry on.
So they had a sale on dinner jackets and they had one in my size.
Wow.
I thought, well, I'll buy it. It was only 50 quid.
Yeah.
I thought, I'll buy it. So I bought it. And when I was checking out, it said, if you pay 10 quid, you can nominate the day you want it delivered. So I thought, okay, I'll pick tomorrow. There's no way. So I picked tomorrow and it went, yeah, whatever. They delivered it at lunchtime on Friday.
Wow, you are so lucky.
So I actually wore it, yeah.
You are so lucky. And did it match the trousers?
Yeah, it was black.
Yeah, well,
did you try Slater's in Canterbury?
Yeah.
Honestly, singing businesses' praises at the moment.
Yeah.
They were one of the best experiences I've ever had in buying a suit. I went in there on a Sunday morning. I had a beard. I probably stunk a little bit of alcohol because I'd been out the night beforehand to another event. And the guy in there treated me with such respect, called me sir the whole way through, and I thought, you don't know me from Adam. I could just be somebody from the estate down the road, but you were treating me like I'm king. It was wonderful. What a brilliant experience.
Slater's. And what was the shop where I bought my new husband's bobble hat that you told me by the fish and chip shop, the country gentleman's shop in Canterbury?
County Clothes.
That is also really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Gav wanted a bobble hat. You know, we've had these winds where we live on the front, and that's not just his digestion. And it's the northeasterly. So there are all these bobble hats, but often they don't actually cover the ears. They're just like fashion accessories.
You want like a Sherlock Holmes type.
Yeah. And the man tried them all on for me, and he was absolutely lovely. And again, called them, you know what I'm like. He tried them all on. And there was another one. They got great shirts in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Really lovely shirts.
Yeah.
So the two, that's Slater's and what was it? Country...
It's county close, and they have branches in Canterbury, Sevenoaks, Reigate, and Tenterton, which is their head office.
Okay, yeah. So two decent shops. For me, there's nothing. Now we've lost Monsoon. Mm.
And Slater's are great. I've got about three jackets that I got in Slater's.
That is the difference between buying online and actually having that face-to-face experience.
And trying it on.
Yeah. So I think it's important for us.
Yeah, the problem for someone like me being oversized is that you can't get anything in a shop.
Because they've got a tailor's built in the back of it, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, yeah. But they just
they
don't
carry... They could add a few strips of material at the side.
Yeah, no, they just don't carry anything
in my... Elasticated waist, that would work.
They don't carry anything in my size.
Yeah. And you're tall as well, aren't you? Because I know in the 80s, I'm 5'11", and in the 80s, when I lived in London, I could never get trousers that were long enough for me. They were always ankle swingers. And now you can get extra long, but I'm 33-inch leg, so that's...
I think that's a generational thing as well. Yeah. All those years of working in the theatre, we've had a chat about theatres before, we go into the costume cupboard and we pull out some trousers and it's like Norman Wisdom. Because everybody back then was so short and malnourished.
Well, you can see from the doorways, can't you, in Whitstable. Like when we moved from London to Whitstable, everybody was short, you know, and my kids got bullied at school because they were tall and ate brown bread and didn't have white bread and stuff. And I think Josh got bullied.
You were posh, weren't you?
Yeah.
You had brown, you had Ovis.
We got bullied. They got bullied because we had a Victorian house and they said, why you got an old house?
Yeah.
You know? And also Josh had pickle in his sandwich and that was a no-no.
That was very middle class.
Yeah.
Especially for a child. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially Branston.
Yeah. Dodgy. Well dodgy. Right. Anyway, I've got some cheesy tunage.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Are you going to guess the tune?
I don't know. Oh, yeah. I know this, but...
I won't even embarrass myself by trying.
Come on. It's Rihanna. It's Rihanna.
Oh, I believe you.
SOS, Rescue Me.
Oh, that's clever.
Do you see what I did there?
Oh,
do you see what
guy.
I did there?
Yeah. I don't know this song.
There you go. Sit back and listen.
Were you twerking when you thought of this?
Exactly.
With words unspoken, I said, boy, I'm telling you, you got me open. I don't know what to do, it's true, I'm going crazy over you. I'm begging, S.O.S., please, somebody help me. It's not healthy for me to feel this way.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, Rihanna, SOS, Rescue Me.
I've never heard that song, Paul Andrews, which is why I couldn't guess it. And I will say, listening to it, it was Tainted Love by Soft Cell.
It's in the background, little, that ding, ding. Yeah. It wasn't slow enough for that, was it? No, but anyway, it was SOS, Rescue Me. Do you see what I did?
I do. I'm most impressed with you. Very, very good. You must have been up all night.
Something like that.
Holmes under the hammer.
Yeah. So that was Cheesy Tunage in honour of our first guest, and it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show Mr. Billy Dean of SOS Technical Services. Billy, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
It's lovely to have you here. We've talked about you an awful lot over the 14 years of this show because you provide technical support services to Jules, which we believe is a care in the community activity.
I definitely should be issued some award.
Yeah, exactly. You do. Yeah.
Listen, he gets better coffee than here in the studio.
I'm sure.
Hand ground, nonetheless.
I'm sure he does.
Frothed up milk.
I'm sure he does, but then he spends days and days and days stuck at your place answering daft questions.
No. No, actually, I just leave him to it. The other day, as I swanned off to Ibiza, I just said, "Please take my computer." And his underling, the lovely Chris, took it. I put it in a big carrier bag, wrapped up with a dog's blanket, a little fluffy dog blanket to protect it, and off they went with it into the sunset. Because it had already gone to Apple, and they'd done what they were supposed to do. Apple, it's still under warranty. Apple didn't give me even a report, did they, of what they'd done?
That's probably because they didn't do anything.
They reformatted it. They just wiped it clean, handed it back, and
And then I plonked on it as soon as I got it back in very quickly.
And broke it again, didn't you?
No, I got the wheel of death again. So
you broke it again.
I did not break it. And then I just said to Billy, take it. And Billy, I think, has sorted it out. So I'm going to play with it this week. I've got to do some podcasts and voiceovers.
Anyway, should we talk to Billy rather than you?
Yeah. He is wonderful.
So, Billy, I want to do two things here. I want you to tell us what it is you do and how you do it and why you do it, and we'll talk about some of the things around technology. But I also want to understand your business journey as well.
Okay.
So give us a bit of history to Billy.
So, back when I first discovered the Business Bunker, I was given IT tuition. I started off as a small tuition company called Technicure PC Repair.
Right.
We used to go into elderly people's houses.
Jules.
And we'd inspire them to use technology. We found a lot of people when we were going in there were, they had a defeatist attitude. You'd put a piece of technology in front of them, they say it's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
My job was to make them enjoy that technology, and I still enjoy that today. I enjoy grabbing a piece of technology, shoving it in front of somebody and seeing how it lifts them up, how it makes their lives easier, how it improves their day-to-day, or just offers them a tiny bit of enjoyment. From then on, we've sort of developed into IT support because, unfortunately, a lot of people, where they don't know how to use the technology, have used it or misused it. So we've had to repair, advise, and basically consult with people on how to use that technology. That then extends across into the business world. We started working with large farms in the area, looking after their small business servers, the exchange, and you can see how the journey suddenly progressed to something a little bit more in demand. We've moved from there. We now do contracts with a lot of people. The part of work that I get enjoyment out of now is still the inspiration within technology, how we can make people's businesses run more efficiently, how we can make their lives more efficient. Assistive technologies I like to have a look at as well, how it can help a blind person see things that, or hear or understand things that they haven't been able to understand before. And that extends onto the whole wireless side of things. So a big part of our job today is to install large-scale wireless networks. We can get wireless to garden buildings, wireless to outbuildings. That feeds through into sensors, feedback, smart sprinkler systems, smart watering systems. The way I see the world going is the smart tech side of things.
Okay.
We're looking at the moment at linear rails and modules that will offer a self-watering and self-weeding garden.
Self-weeding. We both went, we'll have that.
Self-mowing, self...
So, you know, it's a brilliant technology out there, and it's open source at the moment. It's two linear rails like a 3D printer, and you tell it what seeds you want and where your seeds are located. So seed for tomatoes is in tray one, cucumbers two, how many of each you want, and it knows exactly how far to plant those seeds away from
each
other.
Wow.
Right. When it sees a weed coming through, it comes across and it pushes the weed straight back into the soil and says, "No, you're not coming out today."
So is it a little pincer thing?
That's all it is, just a tiny little pincer. It goes along, pushes the weed back in, suppresses that weed from growing, and then moves on, keeps everything else active, gives it the exact amount of water, tests soil temperatures, tests... And that's the type of sort of feedback we get. And just saying something like that and seeing your faces going, actually, do you know what? That could make my life easier. That could save me money because it'll
As a farmer or food producer, totally.
12 volts, feeding off solar panel. It's not going to cost you anything there. You've only got the cost of the seeds.
That's an interesting point you make, Jules, on a larger scale. You know, lots of people, we've talked on the show quite a lot about the shortage of workers these days, and especially things like picking. Agricultural picking. More and more farmers are sorting that problem by automating.
Yeah, robots.
Yeah, you can now buy robots that will pick fruit, and you've even got robots that will pick soft fruit, which was always a problem because it squished it.
So we, obviously, the farming industry is where my career in business IT sort of started. We looked, when we were there, about the usage of drones to detect the spreading of disease in an orchard. You can put a particular filter on there and you can see when that's going to start. We then looked at how we could use sensors to predict microclimates. So 2 miles up in Orchard 1, we can see that there's a grey cloud coming over this hill. Using AI, that would tell us that in field 28, there's probably going to be a dry spell.
Right.
There's little things like that, or there's going to be some winds coming, so we need to change the way the polytunnels were working. We also looked very recently at the robots that are using for distribution in a warehouse. No human is allowed on that floor during the time that the robots are working, and they will load up pallets, put them into the back of trucks. There isn't the use of humans. Obviously, there's a bit of a concern there because we're going to find ourselves with more people unemployed. But that's where the technical jobs can come in. We can use more people to develop that. We can get people to monitor that. We can put them in more useful circumstances rather than these back-breaking, dangerous situations which they have been in previously.
Sure.
And of course, if they're spraying awful chemicals and that, then that they would be breathing in. Humans would be breathing in. So it's better that a robot is using chemicals.
And then if we go back to the linear rail module for home planting, there isn't a use of chemical. We are suppressing that seed through pushing it back down into the earth each time, which means it should then be feeding that those nutrients back into the earth, is it?
Yeah. I mean, as someone that worked in IT myself for over 50 years, one of the things that scares me is a lot of technology is magic. And what I mean by that is, as an ordinary user of a lot of day-to-day technology, you have no concept of how it actually works. And the kind of things that the tech companies do scare me a little bit. So, for instance, just as a really silly thing, like Jules, I use Apple technology. I'm not a big user of spreadsheets and word processing. In fact, I don't use any word processing, and I have one spreadsheet.
And the only sheets I use are on the bed.
Right. Apple comes with its own products in that field, which are very basic, pages and numbers, but they suit me fine. But there's one company I have to provide a spreadsheet for, and they want it in Excel. So fine. So I had a hooky copy of Excel. It wasn't actually hooky. It was a license that was owned by somebody else that had some spare licenses. And a week ago, it stopped me using it and said the license has expired. So I had to go and buy my own license. So I downloaded the license. It wouldn't let me buy a copy of Excel. I had to buy Office 365, which I didn't want. It then started sending me messages going, "Your OneDrive, I don't want any of this," but it attached me to OneDrive. It put all my documents in OneDrive, and I don't want that. And it's not just Microsoft. Google do it, Apple do it. They all do it. They all drive you into doing something that you don't. Not only don't I want it, I don't understand what it is and what they're doing to and why they've got it. I do understand it,
but you don't want it.
It's that lack of choice, isn't it? They've removed from you.
Yeah, and for me, that is where the problems start to happen for non-technical users, where their stuff disappears into the ether and they don't know where it is. I mean, somebody contacted me the other day. They got a new phone, and they transferred to their new phone, but none of the pictures had arrived.
Oh, it's horrible if you lose all your photos. But didn't they have them on, what's it
on
called?
The cloud.
On the cloud. Thank you, Billy.
Well, that was exactly my point. I said, well, surely they're in the cloud. And they went, what?
Okay.
And I said, surely they're in the cloud.
So that comes down to that whole lack of understanding and the education side that can inspire people in technology. If they understand the reasoning behind why things are going up into the cloud. Funny enough, I sat there yesterday evening with my partner's mum and my mum, and we spoke about Google Photos.
Oh, you should have invited my mum as well.
You should have done a photo session, Billy.
Let me just say about WhatsApp. So we've got my mum set up on WhatsApp. She's 91, and during lockdown it was absolutely essential. And she's got my old iPhone, and she just goes silent every now and then. And Shay, our youngest, says, I think Nanny's lost her WhatsApp. And we're in archives. She says, I think you've gone in archives. She said, yeah, you keep going in archives, and I don't know how to get you out. it's really tough for these people that have grown up.
There's people like me to hold their hands and to show them. We're extremely fair in the way we do it. We'll go around and on a day-to-day basis, I probably give away 3 or 4 hours of my time where a customer has rang me and they said, oh, I don't know how to do this, or this has happened. Now I can hear the panic, I can hear the stress in the voice. If I'm passing, I'll pop in there. If not, I'll help them over the phone. And I'll just give them a little bit of education. And we used to get a lot of things which we called whilst you're here's. And I spoke to a friend of mine who's a doctor, and he said the last thing that patient says before they leave the room is what they
the most important.
And we get the same thing. We go around and fix it. Oh, whilst you're here, can you quickly look at the TV? Can you quickly explain this to me?
Yeah.
And it's those little moments that make our business work, and also build up that trust with our customer as well. It's the reason they come back to us, because they can trust that information we're giving them. We're not after anything. I'm not a very good business person. I've been doing it long enough to understand how to run a business, but I'm a very good IT person.
Yeah,
I'm a very good person with technology, and I'm very good at explaining and taking that time with people.
I don't know how he does it. It's so fast and so quick, and you know, you'll give him a thing which to me is like complete needs unravelling, and I can't bear it. And Billy will just go.
The thing is with technology is when you get someone like Billy that understands fundamentally what's going on, it's disconcerting, because you look at it and you haven't got a clue what you're looking at. You go, well, it worked yesterday.
I also have a theory behind it, and I'm not trying not to be rude, but there is a generational thing.
Of course there is,
I come from a generation where if something broke, we threw it away. It was plastic. Whereas any generation before mine tend to have
made it, mended it,
worry. Yeah, that if something broke, then there was a fear. It's going to cost a lot of money. Whereas we were just a throwaway society. I didn't have great amounts of money when I was growing up, so I learned to fix things. And there was a little bit of a panic that, oh crap, I mean, oh I've broken this, and I need to very, very quickly fix it before dad comes home and he sees that his £2,000 computer is now lying in pieces on the side. Is that mentality?
How were you, Billy, at secondary school? I mean, was it spotted that you had this talent for IT? Or because generally IT in schools, even good schools, is not very well taught.
It wasn't spotted, but I was kicked out of IT class for misbehaving.
Oh, no.
Sent up to the library, and I've been back to the school and I've spoke to them. And I gave a talk to the students there. I hacked into the school system whilst I was there.
he's
I managed
one of those.
To get all of the pictures, you know, those little proof photos. Every single one of every child. I managed to get games downloaded onto my server. There was a really bad flaw in Windows NT, which is what they were running at the time, where you could do inheritable permissions, so I could grab folders, shove them into my directory, and my permissions then pushed over onto theirs. I was just grabbing everything I possibly could. I turned around to the IT administrator, and he couldn't understand how I did it.
Really?
So I was good back at school.
So it was, but it wasn't channeled by the schools.
It wasn't, and the reason I got kicked out of IT class was because I was bored. I was doing the work, and I was doing it so quickly before anybody else that I just decided I'd play around instead.
Child genius.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, well, clearly, the thing is, it's you know, the technical people that I know all have very similar patterns of behavior. You know, they understand fundamentally what they're looking at, and they understand the if you understand the basic underlying structure of something, it's reasonably easy to troubleshoot.
Oh, of course. It's, it's a logical process.
Yeah,
it's,
exactly.
Yeah, but the fact is, if you've got someone like me, I'm not actually interested in it.
That's what I'm saying.
It doesn't excite me,
I'm just about to have a go at you. You see, this is the problem. Yeah, it's like this radio set up here. There are certain people here that have done this for over 10 years and still don't understand the basics of how it works. Mm. And they ask me the same questions every week.
It's talking about me.
You're not the only one. Yeah. You're not the only one.
I know the basic stuff to get it all going, but sometimes the buttons don't work and things. But, you know, but... Anyway, let's just say you've got to be excited. You've got to be interested. I like people. I like radio. I like presenting. I like doing all that sort of stuff. But it doesn't float my boat.
That's the entire point, isn't it?
Which is why you need a Billy.
It's why you want someone that understands and cares about what it is. You know, the problem isn't that people are thick or stupid or anything like that. Most of them just never bother to learn the basics of anything because they're not interested in learning the basics. They just want it to work. Mm. And when it doesn't...
Could you make a nice bone broth, for example?
What's that got to do with price of bread?
That's what I mean. the things that excite me.
Well, exactly. Exactly.
Talk about checking in at the airport. So they've got rid of all the staff now. So there's no lovely person when you check in on your flight where you can say, would it be possible? I've ordered a gluten free meal because they usually forget that. They forgot my mum's assisted boarding. They forgot that. But you can't actually talk to anyone because you're doing it yourself. So new husband's pressing away, putting his bags on, getting them weighed and all that. It never bloody works. And then eventually there's one person that's watching you who eventually meanders over and goes, duh, 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 duh. But you can't say this is fragile or can this go in that.
It's like the self-checkout at a supermarket,
isn't
it?
Oh, God, I hate them.
One out of every three items doesn't go through properly and the staff have to come over and put their cards in.
To me, I see both those things as because we're still in early stages.
So you love it, don't you?
Don't get me wrong, things do frustrate me. I wish more things were digital. I'm currently in the process of moving house. Why do I have to keep signing papers? Why does it have to take 3 days to go back and forth? Why can't I move house in 2 weeks' time?
Yeah.
Those are my frustrations. Technology should be there to advance and to aid us. It shouldn't be difficult.
The solicitor wouldn't be making his 50 quid an hour or £100 an hour.
But I think Billy's point is the most valid point here. And this is where we need to address technology in a better way. You know, this is one of my pet hates. Mm. I am very, very nervous about the digitisation of everything based on how people deploy it at the moment. And by people, I mean big companies. Mm. Yeah. There are far too many stupid things that happen with technology where you can't then go and unravel a very simple problem because there's no human involved in the process. And if you try and get a human involved in the process, they know even less than you do. They go, I don't know, computers say no.
And then we have the other end of the scale, which I like to consider myself as somebody who sits in the middle of. There are a lot of people who are more advanced in IT than I am. I can communicate quite well with them. Somebody like Jules may find them very frustrating because of they deliver the information in a particular way which is logical, quick and efficient, which isn't friendly.
I agree.
So if I can sit in between those two people, I can work that for you. There should be more people that can deliver those skills and can communicate. But I think that's a point of education.
Absolutely. But it bothers me that my background in technology was primarily spent in banking, and even back in the 80s when we first developed electronic banking, I had the same issues then which have now come to fruition but are vastly worse now because the technology is far more advanced, is that there's no human element to what you're doing. And there's far too much of this no reply emails, no reply texts. I'll give you a classic example of stupidity. Have you heard of Vistaprint? They're a big Dutch printing company.
I've used them for years.
Yeah, I buy stuff from them online all the time.
And then you get lots of little freebie things as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I decide to get some branded T-shirts, okay? So I go in, I upload the logo, I start designing it, and I get to a point where I'm just about to finalise the order, and I realise they don't have any sizes that I want, okay?
Oh.
So I abandon what I was doing. Since then, which was 3 weeks ago, every day I get an email from them going, why don't you finish this off? Why don't you finish this off? And it's a no reply email. So I can't go back simply and go, there's one reason and one reason only I'm not buying the t-shirts is you haven't got them in my size. But every day they send me a bloody email to the point where I've now blocked them. And you just think, what a pointless message to send.
Yeah.
And I see it all the time. I go onto developers' websites and I want to contact them, I want to phone them because I want the issue resolved. People are paying for my time to be on site with them. I don't want to email and wait half an hour for a reply. I want to get a response, get it done, get out there, save the customer money, save me time. But there is never a contact number anymore. And most of the time you have to fill in a web form to...
Yeah, which they never respond to.
No.
Yeah. Absolutely, and that side of technology for me is its downfall, and will drive people away, because if you don't treat people as humans, if you don't give them some human contact when they're confused, they'll just stop using it altogether.
But that isn't technology, because if you look at where technology developed from, it was a communication channel.
Yeah.
We opened it up as a point of communication from the telephone all the way through fax machines onto emails. It was all a way of communicating. We have lost that ability to communicate as humans.
Yeah, absolutely.
And unfortunately, technology does have its downfalls as well. Social media has some great aspects, but at the same time, it does pull people away and withdraw them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And have you ever had a decent conversation with a chatbot? You know, they'll always say, please write in fewer sentences, please do, you know, and you're just trying to say very concisely what the problem is. I've never had a decent one. Have you? The chatbot?
Not that I can recall. I mean, I don't tend to use chatbots because I know they're not going to understand what I'm asking.
Exactly.
I've had you know, online chats with human agents, and they're almost as bad.
Yeah, but, they always have really interesting names, though, don't they?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Hello, I don't know. They have really normal names, and
Keith. It's Keith.
Yeah,
Keith from Delhi.
Yeah, or Cheryl.
I don't know.
Sorry, Cheryl, if you're listening.
Anyway, just for the last couple of minutes, Billy, I want to talk about SOS and exactly what you do. Yeah. So you offer technical support services.
We certainly do.
And who do you offer that to?
We offer that to both business and residential on the wireless and the IT side.
Okay. And is that businesses, or do you also look after domestic users?
Yes, we look after both, yeah. So we will literally help anybody who needs us. We will be there, we will provide a solution, or we will find somebody to provide them a solution.
Cool.
We don't mind being the middleman, even if we're not earning that, or rather somebody was using technology.
Because it's now that, you know, the new paradigm that we're in has now bled over into that as well, because so many people are working from home that they are domestic users of business systems.
Yeah.
But you know, they're a million miles away from their IT team at work, and want someone local to support them.
And there's no reason that we can't provide them a solution to go and work out in the middle of a field if they want. I've been working on my laptop at the Lake District. We're currently installing 4G for somebody today so that they can work in their field at the end of their garden. There's always a solution for somebody.
Yeah. I just had a message from Mike Thompson, who's listening in. He says, I relate to Billy so much. So many IT people often speak too much tech without explaining it in layman's terms, which is as essential, as Billy says, to building a better client confidence. Absolutely. Yeah. Cool. So, Billy, if people want to find out more about SOS or use your services, what's the best way to do that?
Is to give me a call.
You seem happily personable.
Hey, see how that really did there.
Yeah.
But otherwise, our website does have a great resource of information on there. We're available on Facebook, Twitter. Just drop us a message in any way, we will respond to you.
Okay, give us a shout for your website.
It's sostechnical.co.uk.
Fantastic. And I guess your telephone number's on there.
It's
so if they want to speak to you, you can find a telephone number and give Billy a call.
I just hound him on WhatsApp.
Yeah, yeah.
But he doesn't really want you to do that, but I do. But I've known him a long time.
Well, you're annoying, that's why.
No, I've known him a long time.
Well, you annoy me as well.
How long have I known you? 14 years, it must
be. Yeah.
Well, pretty much when this show started.
Yeah. Did I find you from this show or the other way around?
I don't remember.
I think maybe I did.
It may have been. I may have texted. I think he had Joe Dodds.
Joe Dodds.
Weren't you a guest on the show in the early days?
No,
are you sure?
I did. I got myself a free mouse mat.
Yeah, he's got a mouse.
Which I've still got on my desk today.
Yeah, but he must have got that being on the show, surely.
No, I took it home for him once.
Did you?
Yeah.
I was convinced you'd been on the show, and it was in the days before SOS.
No, we went for a coffee, me and you, to chat about business, and I must say you were very, very helpful.
I set that coffee up. I remember that.
I was just trying to work out how we came across Billy. Maybe he was just a listener to the show.
Yeah, he was a listener and a tweeter, and I still also use my Business Bunker mouse mat as well. Cool. I love a mouse mat, in fact.
Cool.
Good quality mouse mat.
We've got new ones now. Yeah. They're no longer orange.
Yeah.
They're blue.
I don't have one of those, and neither does Billy.
No, well, I got that from Vistaprint, and I've only got one.
And it's the wrong size.
Yeah. Well, look, it's got white bits down the edge. I didn't ask for white bits down the edge.
Why did you change from the orange to...
I got bored with orange.
Okay. Is that good enough?
I had a rebrand. I went blue. Mm. Billy, thank you for that. That's brilliant.
No, thank you.
And good to see you, as always. We've got a few minutes before we join the Channel Radio newsroom. I think we ought to start reading some tweets, because we've got quite a lot.
Twitter's gone bonkers. I thought it'd be quiet, because people are sort of on holiday. But Tracy Ferguson is listening in. Now, if you don't know Tracy, because you're new to the show, she's the owner of Plucky's World, which is... she's also a Prince's Trust mentor. And her strap line I love. It's the time to do what you love is now, and you can find Plucky's World on Plucky's, that's with a YS, pluckysworld.com, and follow her on Twitter at Tazi64, that's Tazi64. And then she, because I've gone on a thing, she says, great point, Paul, the world would be a very boring place if we were all interested and could all do the same things. See, I can make bone broth, you can't. It's good to be different and have unique talents. I too am slightly scared at the rate technology is advancing, and it feels a little bit overwhelming. And she's used a brilliant GIF. We're not cavemen, we have technology. So thanks for that, Tazi.
I've had a tweet from iTrust Assurance, and they say, can we have a Business Bunker shout out? Well, yes, you can. And there it was.
And then DG East, that's at DG East number one on the Twitter, says, hi, Paul and Jules. How about a shout out for a busy show sponsor still being sucked dry by the parasitic FCA? What is the FCA? I never know.
The Financial Conduct Authority.
Okay, so is this about the car?
You have to have a license to flog financial products, even if you're not the financial supplier. So with car firms, they're selling leases, so they have to have a license from the FCA, even though it's not them that does the finance. Mm. And the FCA suddenly, at the beginning of this year, put up the cost of license by 380% for no good reason, or something like that, for no good reason. Because they don't actually do anything.
Mm.
And that's what he's moaning about. Samantha Bowen has been on. She says, hi, Paul, it's me again. Please can you give a huge shout-out to the amazing Emma Appleby, mum of Tegan. Twitter handle at 4FOR4Tegan, T-E-A-G-A-N, who works her bottom off to fundraise for life-saving meds for her daughter. Any local business who can help them would be incredible. She is truly amazing. Thank you. So give 4Tegan a follow, F-O-R-T-E-A-G-A-N.
Isn't it a sign of the times that people have to GoFundMe treatment?
Yeah,
that's absolutely needed. Life-saving treatment. Yeah. I think it's
shocking. It's interesting. I don't really follow many of these things to find out why it's not available here when it is available somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. I was talking to a journalist about inoculations. We were talking earlier about babies' inoculations and how they're, you know, slipping more and more into them when they're young, like Hep B and stuff, which I don't know why on earth they need. And if you go abroad to Romania or Poland or Ukraine, for example, you can have them all individually with a doctor and they'll talk you through them. Mm. But here it's just boom. Lump.
Yeah, I can only imagine a lot of these treatments are time based, i.e. the reason they have to go abroad is because they can't get them done in time here. I don't know.
Maybe. And it's sometimes machines and things, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tracy's also slathering over the Krispy Kreme donuts, and she said they are too Moorish, which I've just discovered. You know our friend Dan Juby, Spinnerjet? Yep. So he was, this is interesting, on Twitter he was putting about how he cleans up roofs and things, and also about weeds growing in driveways. So Andrew Bevan, who's a beef farmer that I follow and he follows me, has asked Spinnerjet, this is why I love Twitter, how do you stop the weeds regrowing? And so Spinnerjet says, we use sand that contains minerals to inhibit weed growth, then apply a sealer coat which dries clear. So I think Billy needs to contact Dan and talked to him about his little probe thing as well. You know, and then this guy saying, can you please DM me the name of the sealer? So it's this whole little conversation going on Twitter. I love it.
Cool. Martin Reeves, Collectors Buddy, I'd love a shout out on our show, on our Business Bunker show, please. A great lineup of guests. Thank you, Martin. That's Collectors Buddy. And the lovely folks at Paragon Drones. Hi, Paul and Jules. It wouldn't be Tuesday without great interviews, the cheesiest of tunes, and the very best banter around IT solutions and service values.
Terry Thorpe at Terry TTG on the Twitter just joined the Ashford Community Lottery, selecting Tenterton Social Hub as a supported charity. So well done for that. And B Bunker, how about a shout out? He says,
yeah,
he's had one.
Brit Blues Exhibition.
Is that music, you mean?
I guess so.
Lovely.
A bit of Business Bunker cheer for the Bromley Buzz podcast, yeah, which you'll be on at some point. Yeah, you keep threatening that, Darren, but I never end up on it. And the Bromley Arts Festival, which happens throughout July.
I think we were interviewed for the Bromley Buzz. I had an interview, and you did here once. I was interviewed in this very studio, just with a little mobile mic.
I don't know.
Fruitworks, they're based in Canterbury. They say, hello, Business Bunker. Shout out, please, Jules Serkin. No mention of you. Our latest Fruitworks small meeting room, the Green Room, is now ready, open, ready for hire by the hour, half a day, or day in Canterbury City Centre. And all the details are at fruitworks.co. It's very easy, their website, just fruitworks.co.
Right.
And you can find all the details on there.
Okay, Brit Blues have been back on, Brit Blues Exhibition, the British Blues Exhibition at the Barbican Music Library until the 19th of September. We don't ask much, but can we have a shout out? There you go, shout it out. We do social media, Hive and on the web. Would you give us a shout out on the Business Bunker for our new content creation workshops launching on the 6th of July? Of course I will. Give them a follow on Twitter. We do S Media is their Twitter handle.
Now, they would love Krispy Kremes because I know they have a little sweet tooth.
Yeah.
What's On in Kent has tweeted in. That's What's On in Kent. Does what it says on the tin. It's a shout out would be great. We'll be listening in. Looking forward to it. Don't forget to download our app. First to come up in both Apple and Google Play Store.
So and well done. Michael Park Surveyors, thank you as always, Paul and Jules. We love your Business Bunker shout outs.
It's funny that I don't like technology, but I love Twitter, mm-hmm. which is technology. So
yeah, but you're not using the technical aspects of it particularly, no. Are you? It's the gossip.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I do love a gossip.
Yeah, well, exactly.
And so you read out Samantha Bowen, didn't you?
I did.
Who else? Because it's busy. Neville Gaunt was talking about the mind fit process. So Richie Sunak accused of wasting, as we know, billions and billions of money on all sorts of things. I retorted, it's not his money.
You retorted, did you?
I retorted back.
You retorted.
But it's not his money, is it? I see a lot of waste of money when it's someone else's money, as in Canterbury City Council, if you're listening.
Oh, politicians are experts at wasting everyone else's money.
Canterbury City Council, please stop mowing the grass all the time so it's brown. Mm. They mow it all the time and it doesn't even need mowing.
Mm. The construction, South East Construction Expo, September 22nd at the K2 Crawley Event Centre is the place to meet loads of construction professionals from the South East, London and UK. 87% of business directors agree it's easier to communicate face-to-face than via phone, email or Zoom. To get your free ticket for the September event, www.constructionexpouk.co.uk.
And I saw the lovely Lisa M. Settle on the Twitter pop up, and she was saying it's great that Billy Dean is finally out. And she means...
Are you out?
He's out. Out of the wardrobe. And she must be back from sunny Florida then.
Absolutely.
Back to work.
Do you know what?
Time for the news.
It's time to join the Channel Radio newsroom. And I do believe we've actually got some news this week.
Well, that's good. And it does mean I can go and have a little Krispy Kreme.
You can.
While it's on.
Let's join the newsroom.